Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm aware of the time. In about 120 seconds, I will no longer be aware of the time, but I wanted to let you know that as far as right now, at this moment, I am aware of the time. And we won't wear you out. We won't keep you long. I want to just kind of say a few things to our young people and some good reminders for parents also. Let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you all stand for the reading of the Bible, verse number 1, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time of embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, dear Lord, through the message and these Bible truths, that this will be an encouragement, Lord. Parents, I'm so thankful for our parents. They're doing such a good job. I'm so thankful for them. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to help them as they're rearing their young people to serve you and to love you. I pray, dear Lord, that the young people would not waste these precious, precious years of their life. Lord, there's just something wonderful about that stretch of time between 12 and 20. And Lord, it seems like so much good can be done, and not easy stretch, but at the same time, it can be such a wonderful, blessed time. So I pray, dear God, that this preacher would encourage our young people tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Years ago, I took an entire summer and I preached, I think, 7 or 8 messages on the seasons of life. And I'm kind of taking the notes from the teenage years because I think to every decade of your life can be identified as a very specific season. And when I got to the teenage years, I kind of covered from the birth till about 11 because I think 12 is very significant. And then 12 to 20, and then we broke down each decade. Every one is a different season of life. And I think that there's very specific challenges to every one of those seasons. I think there's some really unique blessings associated with each of those seasons. I will tell you, I love being the age that I am. I love being in this decade of my life. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to go forward too fast. But I've just learned to love what God has given me at this time. And this has been a wonderful thing. And I mean that. But during the teenage years, if I was going to identify it with a statement, I would say that the teenage years, they are a season of preparation. A season of preparation. And where you're at, how prepared you are for real life when you turn 20 years of age is going to be dependent a lot on what you did between 12 and 20 years of age. And so I want to talk to young people about that and give you some goals here in your teenage years and not to waste this season of life, a season of preparation. Let me give you several points. We'll do it quickly. Number one, I believe the teenage years should be a season of a personal relationship with God, a season of a personal relationship with God. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says this, remember when? Remember now, thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And it's not unusual, nor is it wrong, for children to kind of be dependent upon their parents and kind of ride on the coattails of their parents in their relationship with the Lord. But you know, when you hit that 12-year-old mark, you know what, young people, you really need to start developing a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just mom and dad, not just family devotions or family altar, but you learning to walk with God, you learning to read your Bible, you learning to pray and develop a prayer life with God. And I would ask each and every one of you young people to not waste these years. You know, the most important relationship during any of the seasons of life is your relationship with God. But I really feel like during your teenage years is where you first start to kind of discover that, you know what, God wants to have a personal relationship with me. By the way, that's pretty amazing. And that I can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, you know what, get into your Bible. Come up with a plan if you haven't already. And you know what, walk with the Lord. Develop a prayer list if you haven't. Begin to develop a prayer list. Some things that you pray for yourself every day and pray for others every day. And start in that personal relationship with the Lord. Remember it now. Remember now during the days of your youth. Don't forget your Creator. Number two, if you'll jot this down, I think the teenage years should be a season of pursuit. A season of pursuit. Pursuing what, preacher? Pursuing wisdom. Pursuing wisdom. I think one of the most important things that you can do during your teenage years is to pursue wisdom. You can pursue it through the written word of God. And by the way, if you go to the teenage years of Jesus Christ, there's 8 different principles that I teach in that chapter on wisdom that will help you to develop wisdom and find wisdom and attain wisdom during your teenage years. Now, not every teenager has wisdom. I'll just tell you that. Every once in a while, I'll interact with a teenager, sometimes here in this church, sometimes away from this place. And I'll walk away thinking, that 14-year-old young man is wise beyond his years. That's not an accident. The Bible gives you a formula, a very specific formula for increasing in wisdom. And by the way, it's not just going to happen by osmosis. God says, if you want to increase in wisdom, these are the things that you do. And if you do those things, if God promised that they'll work, then I promise you they'll work. And so you might take a look at that chapter and you might decide, you know what, during these teen years, I'm going to pursue wisdom. Pursue wisdom through the written word. Of course, the book of Proverbs, such an important part, and I think it ought to be a very important part of your teenage years. Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. I love verse 5. Get wisdom. That was spoken to a young man. Get it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her. Love wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Sounds like that the responsibility has fallen on your shoulders. Young people and parents, you know, there's parents that grieve every day of their life. You know why? Because they tried to raise wise children, but you know what you figure out as a parent? You can't force feed wisdom to your kids. You can teach it. You can train it. But you know what? They got to want it and they got to accept it. At some point, they got to take the responsibility of going after it themselves. And the ones that do, you know what? They are equipped in a very unique way to face the things of this world and not to fall for the traps of the devil. The average young person, by the way, some of them, it's not their fault. Their parents don't bring them to church. They don't have a Bible in the home. But the average young person is destroying their life because of foolish decisions. And young people, make these years a season of pursuit by pursuing the written word, by pursuing the living word. You know what? Follow Jesus. Get as close as you can to Jesus. Proverbs, I think so important during your teenage years. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, I think are so important during your teenage years. If every day you spend some time just walking beside the Savior, listen to Him. Come on, use your imagination as you're reading. Watch Him. Think about what He's saying. Think about what He's teaching. Watch what He did. And then ask yourself, well, why did He do that? And you'll begin to gain wisdom. Number 3, I think the teenage years ought to be a season of partnering. Of partnering. So it's a season of a personal relationship with God. A season of pursuit and a season of partnering. What do you mean, preacher? Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke when? in his youth. And the wise teenagers realized that, you know what? I don't need to try to be a lone ranger. I don't need to push away the people that God has placed in my life to help me make good decisions and right decisions. I'm going to begin to get in a yoke. Let me say this. First of all, the most important person you can get in a yoke with is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see a lot of young people that are crumbling under the pressures of this life. You know why? Because they're trying to carry everything by themselves. And Jesus never intended you to do that. If you'll get in a yoke with him, you'll find out that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so yoke up with Jesus Christ. Listen, young people, let me help you. Please listen to me. Yoke up with mom and dad. Yoke up with mom and dad. A lot of people during your teenage years, I promise you, you'll have scorners, you'll have enticers that try to drive a wedge between you and your parents. Don't allow that to happen during your teenage years. You stay in the yoke with them, okay? This is the time of your life where you stop letting mom and dad do everything for you, and instead you begin to learn from them how to do things for yourself. And so you get in a yoke. Instead of mom doing everything for you, young ladies, you yoke up with her in the home, and you begin to learn how to do the things that you're going to need to do one of these days to have a successful home, a successful marriage, and be a successful mother. Young men, you need to yoke up with dad, because this is the time of year where, you know what? He knows a lot. You ever hear an older person say, the older I got, the smarter my dad got? Amen. Well, he didn't really get smarter. We just got smarter when it came to realizing how smart he was. And so, you know what? Your dad knows a lot of things that he wants to pass down to you. And if you'll listen, if you'll enter into a yoke with him, come on, dads. I know sometimes it's easier for us to do it ourselves than it is to train and help somebody, one of our kids, do it. But take the extra time, because you've got to prepare them for real life. And so sit down. Come on, guys. One of these days, you know what? You want to get married? You want to have a family? You want to have a home of your own? Okay, sit down with your dad and talk about the practical things of life. Yes. I mean, what does it take to pay the bills? What is it? How much money am I going to have to make? How do I budget that money? You know, and there's so many things that your dad will sit down and teach you. And by the way, he wants to, but he's not going to try very hard if every time all he does is get you rolling your eyes and act like you're in pain because you're, watch this phrase, lecturing me again. Well, you're pretty foolish if you think the instruction of your father is a lecture. You know what? Be wise. So yoke up. Yoke up with mom and dad. Yoke up with spiritual authorities in your life. Best youth groups we've had were the rare group who decided, listen to this, to partner with their youth leaders in reaching other teenagers for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have said this several times, and I kind of coined the phrase, and it's kind of gotten across the country, but you know, I'll say this, watch this. When you're 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, you need your youth group. Okay, when you're 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, your youth group needs you. Did you hear that? Some of you that now are going into 10th grade, you were 9th grade, going to 10th grade. It's time to start stepping up. It's great when you come alongside a youth leader. You come alongside a Sunday school teacher. And Brother Chad and Miss Rachel are doing a great job. I'm so glad for the Davises having influence into our young people's life. And you know what? You ought to get in a yoke with them. Okay, they know a lot of stuff. They're trying to help you with a lot of stuff. And you know what? You know, you're working beside them to help them accomplish what they are trying to accomplish. Watch this. Instead of sitting in the back, making your little snarky comments. By the way, that's not making you cool. That's making you a fool. Okay, time to grow up. Time to grow up and get in the yoke with the spiritual authorities in your life. Number four, I believe the teenage years ought to be a season of purity. A season of purity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 talks about youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You keep your heart pure, you'll keep your body pure. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In purity. Talking about the teen years being a season of purity. You know what, folks? I think one of the most amazing verses, every young person, please listen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. For this is the will of God. You ever heard young people just say, you know, I just want to find the will of God? Or a preacher say, you need to pray and you need to ask God to reveal the will of God. You know, some things concerning the will of God is in black and white in the Bible. I mean, you don't have to seek it out. You don't have to, you know what, get away on some mountaintop and have a supernatural encounter with God to discover it. Some things are just written out plain in black and white. Now, see what it says here. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And then it goes on to say this, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's talking about his body, in sanctification and honor. In sanctification and honor. I'll be really careful here. I know we've got children in here, but I think you'll understand. Those that need to understand will understand. But you ever wonder why the Lord created us the way he did? You know, it'd be a lot easier if all of us came into puberty at about 20 years of age or 21 years of age. You know, you ever thought about that? You say, well, why in the world did God create us in such a way so that some things are awakening in our lives several years before they can really be acted on? Because the Bible tells us the reason right here in this verse. God wants every one of us to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's something you got to figure out in your teenage years. That you should abstain from fornication. Folks, we're going to keep preaching what we preach here. This matter of purity, it's so important. And I don't say these things to beat up adults that maybe say, preacher, I wish I could go back in a time machine. I wish I knew what I know now. That's not the purpose of this. But your preacher needs to say some things to these young people that they need to hear on a regular basis. You know what? You can and you should come to a marriage altar pure and clean one of these days. You can and you should. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to shock some of you because some of you don't read some of the things. And a lot of times some of the things I read, I wouldn't even bring to the pulpit. Do you realize, folks, that there is an attack on purity? Now, if you ever thought there'd be one thing that there's never going to be an attack on that all Americans could agree on, that there'd be an attack on purity. Do you know that there are evangelicals that are now giving lectures entitled The Danger of the Purity Movement? This isn't somebody down at the bar. This is such a bunch of heathens hanging around, you know, Jacksonville at night. This is in some Christian circles. They are attacking the idea that some of us are teaching our young people that they ought to be pure. Now, I don't know how you get more wicked than that. I don't know how you can be against the plain teachings of the scriptures any more than that. You know, I wrote the Stay in the Castle book, one of our teenagers a couple of years ago. She's out of the youth group now and older, but she came to me and she was distraught. And I couldn't even understand for a while what she was talking about. She said, preacher, there's somebody on the internet and they're talking about your Stay in the Castle book. And I thought, well, good, good. I don't know who it is, but thank you for promoting. No, you don't understand, preacher. You know what? They are mocking it. Three women that have a podcast. I'm going to keep saying this, and I hope the younger generation hears me. Podcasts about destroying the next generation of Christian young people. Did you hear what I just said? Doesn't mean that there aren't some good ones out there, but you start listening to them, you get an appetite for them, you're going to run through the good ones pretty quick, and then you're going to start listening to things that you shouldn't be listening to, coming from so-called Christians. So here's three women sitting at a table, and they've got my Stay in the Castle book. One of them grew up in a church like this. And she held that book up and she said, this is the book that caused me so much problem in my teenage life. And this is the book that caused me, why it took so long for me to finally get married. And they start reading this book, my Stay in the Castle book, Brother Dan, and mocking it and saying filthy. I wouldn't recommend that anybody look this up because since it affected me and my minister, I listened to it. I would never listen to it a second time. Saying filthy, godless, wicked things about the idea of staying pure during your teenage years. And young people, if you want to find somebody to tell you it's okay, you can find them. They're out there. And some of them will tell you they're Christians. But I'm telling you that this time of your life needs to be a season of purity. Let me give you the last one. I think the teen years ought to be a season of productivity. You got all that energy. Let's do something with it. Let's do something good. Wise parents keep their kids busy during their teenage years. And, you know, Jesus, you think about Jesus Christ, and they talked about him. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?" This is when they lost Jesus. You know, if you ever feel like you're just a failure as a parent, think about Mary and Joseph. You know, they lost their kid for 3 days. Some of you here have lost them for an hour or two, but 3 days, that ought to make you feel better, okay? "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing," and he said unto them, watch this. This is at 12 years of age. We can get 12-year-olds to have this mentality. He said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Young people, at 12 years of age, it's time to get busy serving the Lord. It's time to get busy being about your father's business. Bring our young people into youth group. And I've said this many times, you know, our seventh graders, we got a big group of sixth graders coming in, seventh graders this fall. And you know what? Brother Gordon will say to them, you know what I'll say to them when I get a chance? Hey, you ready to get busy? Come on, time to go to work. Time to do something for God. I want to thank our teenagers. I will tell you, you watch this ministry. And folks, we wouldn't be able to accomplish half the things that we accomplish if it wasn't for the teenagers providing a servant's heart and a labor force to be able to do it. And they help with our VBS. They're active everywhere in our VBS. Primary church, they rotate in and out of it. Nursery workers, some of our young ladies are helping back there. And young men taking the offering and serving as ushers. And you know what? I mean, they get to join the choir. They're so excited because they're a part of it. Hey, just grow up serving the Lord. Amen. Get busy serving God. Amen. You start at 12 and you do it till 18, you'll just kind of think that's what life's all about and this is what I'm supposed to do, and it won't seem strange at all to you. You know, begin to produce spiritually. I want to thank our teens. You're doing such a great job. Teen soul winning, that's a big deal. And you know what? I believe that the centerpiece, I want to say this again because we need to hear this every once in a while. The centerpiece of a successful youth program needs to be teen soul winning. You raise a bunch of kids that don't have a burden for lost souls, they won't stay in church. And so it has to be that. And you young people are doing a great job. But not just produce spiritually. These are the time of life to begin to produce financially. To learn to work. Now, you've been working all through your childhood years. Your parents give you, but I'm talking about work. Yep. I'm talking about, you know what, as a 12-year-old boy, I start hiring out. I start looking for opportunity. Say, what motivated you? Well, I could stay at home, and my dad would work me, and he would pay me nothing. Yes. Or I could go find somebody that I could work for, and he would at least pay me something. Maybe it wasn't a lot, but hey, it was a good deal. I came home with a little money in my pocket. And I learned to love work in my youth. Learn to love it. Learn to work. Learn how to make some money. Learn how to handle money. Come on, young people. Start paying your own way in life. Start paying your own way in life. You know, here we are getting ready for school, and mom and dad's taking some of you, then high schoolers, and taking you to the store and buying you new school clothes. Why is she still buying them for you? I'm going to say it. Why is she still buying them for you? Come on. Come on. I mean, how about next time mom and dad go through a drive-thru, why don't you reach up and say, "Dad, I got this." You going to be a mooch your whole life? And I'm walking around with Colton out there, our new baby grandson, a little fat boy, you know. I'm walking around their senior Saints Fellowship, and I'm walking around, I'm talking to some of the, and they said, "Boy, he's so cute." I said, "Yeah, but he's lazy." I said, "He's a loafer, a welfare case, just living off mom and dad." I said, "Son, you need to get a job." He said, "Well, it's probably a little early, but I still want him to hear Papa say that, you know, because I don't want him to grow up thinking it's okay." Now, if you want to be a young man, then act like a young man. "Well, I want to be, I'm tired of being treated like a child." Well, go out and get a J-O-B. Start working. Start learning a trade. Jesus was a carpenter from 12 years of age till 30 before he went into the ministry. He learned a trade skill in which he could support a family on. Well, he was never married, didn't have children, I know, but most people leave. Joseph died, and the family became Jesus' responsibility to take care of his mom. Are we listening to this? To take care of his mom and his other siblings as they were growing up. And I believe that's probably one of the reasons that he postponed going into ministry till he was 30. He wanted to make sure all the other kids were taken care of and gotten out of the house and got out on their own. And then he went into ministry. Hey, if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. Yes. That's not Jerry Ross's opinion. That's King James Holy Bible. And so, young people, this is a wonderful, wonderful time of life. But if you're not careful, you'll waste it. Instead of being a season of preparation, you can make it something that's not going to be good and not going to set you up for success in life. So think about your teenage years, a season of a personal relation with God, a season of pursuing wisdom, a season of partnering with those in authority and partnering with the Lord Jesus Christ, a season of purity, a season of productivity. Heavenly Father, thank you for our young people. This has been so good tonight. Wow. Thank you, God. My heart was so blessed. So blessed. Thank you for the parents. Our parents are doing such a good job, Lord. Bless them. Help them. Give them wisdom. Give them discernment. Thank you, dear God, that they've committed themselves to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I pray, dear God, that we would all be involved in some way of touching the next generation so that they will grow up to serve you and love you with all of their life, with all of their hearts. Bless this time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.